May God open our hearts and our ears that we may hear and respond to his word to us this morning. Amen. Do we sit down? Now we who are blessed by a very generous health care from our wonderful NHS find it difficult to imagine the horror, the absolute quaking fear of the person who discovers that they have caught a leprous disease. It was a sentence of banishment. Anyone who has read The Island by Victoria Hislop will have caught a glimpse of the shock experienced by one Alexis Fielding, who discovers not that she had leprosy, but that her mother's mother, her grandmother, had been affected by banishment because of leprosy. To the island of Spinalonga, Greece's former leper colony. The scourge of leprosy is not confined to an Old Testament past. It afflicts people today. The stigma, the banishment, the isolation, the horror of contagion can barely be grasped in the official language of Leviticus 13. The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head be disheveled. He shall cover up his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. Imagine hearing those words pronounced over you or me. And so in this passage from Luke, we read that as Jesus made his way through the countryside, he comes across the existing level of care for the sick, which was pretty much zero. Every village would have had its own disease victims, because indeed they were victims, victims of circumstance, victims of ignorance, and victims of neglect. They kept their distance from everybody. That was the law of Leviticus. However, they knew the buzz in the marketplace. They had heard of the miraculous healings by Jesus. He was the master of healing, they had heard. In their helpless, desperate situation, they believed that they had found someone in whom they could place their hope of healing, of redemption, of acceptance, of love. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. A heartfelt cry of desperate hope expressing their desperate need. And certainly Jesus sees the need. He has come to spread the good news. Jesus' mission is to bring the kingdom of God to all. He has come to show that God cares about our human condition. He has come to draw people back to God through any and every possible opportunity. And what an opportunity Jesus has here. He can see their desperation, their life of rejection, living on the margins, no hope of healing, no NHS here. What can Jesus offer? He can offer a demonstration of God's power, revealing the presence of God to a people who feel they live in a godless place. This miracle is not just for them at that time. Jesus was not sent as a roving or mobile NHS service. Not all people in Palestine were healed, but those who were healed have been recorded in this passage so that others, you and me, for example, may learn that God in Jesus did indeed walk upon the earth. Jesus simply said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Why? The law of Leviticus, again, made it quite clear that it was the priest who had the authority, what power, to examine the skin and the clothing to confirm that a patient's disease had been cleansed and therefore declared he could be released from the disease or not. It was the priest who made the direct declaration of healing, ensured that the ritual cleansing laid down by Leviticus was undertaken, and then allowed the person, very importantly, to be received back into the community from which he came, to return home, declared clean from all that which had disfigured him. Jesus speaks with authority. Go! Something in his tone, makes this lost and dejected band obey, and their obedience is their demonstration of their faith. No matter how weak, it was enough for them to believe that they had been healed, because they knew they couldn't go and show themselves to the priest if they hadn't been. Only they could go if they'd been cleansed. They knew the law. They accepted Jesus' spiritual authority in this matter, that he could heal, that God's power resided in him. All ten obeyed the command to go, and in the going they were healed. And that's the important point. In the going they were healed. But the Samaritan was aware, more than his fellows, of what had happened. He recognized that something impossible had occurred. Whatever had afflicted his skin, and you can imagine the pain, the disfigurement, the distress, was, in that moment, gone. The release must have felt like a flash of lightning in the dark. It was sudden, it was total. No wonder he turned back to Jesus, praising God with a very loud voice. No wonder he threw himself at Jesus' feet. No wonder he offered his profuse thanks. Now, Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem. Samaritans didn't help Jewish pilgrims going there, and neither did Jews help Samaritans. Great tensions existed between these two communities. To the Jews, the Samaritans were outsiders and not acceptable. However, in this case, with this band, this unhappy band, Samaritans and Jews had been thrown together by the awful fellowship of their fell disease. Perhaps we can note in our lives, in our times, in the world, where barriers are broken by shared adversity. It's a great lesson here, a hidden lesson. Why does Luke draw attention to the point that only the Samaritan gave thanks, who had an attitude of gratitude? It seems clear to me that in healing the despised Samaritan in the Jewish village, Jesus is saying that healing and redemption is for all people, not just for the chosen few. That's a clear message for our times, isn't it? The kingdom of God is for the whole world. All can see and respond when they see the kingdom of God expressed, brought to life among them. And that's where we come in, day by day. But who do you think in this case, whose healing was more complete, more deep-seated? Looking at the nine, they accepted the healing, but they didn't find praise in their hearts. In calling out Jesus, Master, they acknowledged his power and authority. But perhaps, like you, certainly like me, they needed more time to develop a fuller appreciation of what Jesus had done for them. Maybe like Naaman with the leprosy, the man in command, they might have expected a little more lively action from Jesus, the waving of his hand over the spot and a cure for leprosy before their very eyes, sort of thing that we command, want, put that way, a sign. I hope if we don't get the sign we're looking for, we don't turn away from Jesus in a rage like Naaman. We, like Naaman, need others to point out when we're full of pride. Need others to help us admit our need, humbly accept blessings from God simply offered through Christ, be washed clean of the stain of disobedience, and so have our lives restored, made pure in the sight of God. And be thankful. Be thankful. Which we do and are when we accept all that Jesus has done for us on the cross, in his resurrection, in his pleading for us on the right hand of God. The message of the Samaritan is that we are to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And what is our reaction to the authority of Jesus? Have we asked him for mercy? Have we been aware of even receiving it? Have we, in our distress, asked for healing for a health issue? Are we aware of any other kind of healing in our lives, from addiction, from despair, from grief, from broken relationships, from a sense of self-loathing and worthlessness, of alienation from God, of that separation we call sin. We do not have to keep our distance from God like that distressed, diseased folk. Jesus has overturned the law of Leviticus. We know the buzz in the marketplace. We too have heard of the miraculous healings of Jesus. He is also our master of healing. In our helplessness, in our desperate situation, we know we have found someone whom, in whom we can place our hope. Hope of healing, hope of redemption, hope of acceptance and of love. We have, in Jesus, been healed from our alienation from God. We can, with confidence, show ourselves to him, our hearts open, now clean. This is the big healing for which we give grateful thanks, displaying that attitude of gratitude. Gratitude is the sweet exhalaire in which we taste the love of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good, said the psalmist. And we drink deep, taste deep. Like the Samaritan, we prostrate ourselves before Jesus, acknowledging his authority, his power to heal. In the Eucharist this morning, we can obey Christ's command to go and kneel before him, showing ourselves to God, our forgiving Father, as our hearts are open and seeking healing. And we receive it. We are declared clean. And we give thanks. We note that Jesus accepts the praise of the foreigner, responds with a further blessing. Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Through this Holy Eucharist, God receives us back into the community of the Trinity from which we came and welcomes us home, declared clean from all that which disfigured us. In the name of our risen Christ, Amen.